Okay, the title of my message is The Ultimate Step. The Ultimate Step. So just take a moment and just ask yourself, how did you get to where you are today? How did you get to here? Besides driving in your car to get here, hopefully none of you were speeding on the way here. How did you get to where you are? How did you get to who you are? What were the things that enabled you to be the person that you are today? If you got your Bible, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. You know, one of the things that I think enables people to get to where they are is faithfulness. In fact, one of the things that stops you getting to where God wants you is unfaithfulness. Faithfulness is an incredible thing. And we're going to read from Luke 16. I'm just going to read from verse 10. This is in the context of sowing and reaping. And in verse 10, it goes this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. So if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. Always like reversing the scripture. If you're not faithful in little things, you won't be faithful in large things. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. That's a sort of a twisted way, isn't it? It's going, if you're dishonest in the little things, then you won't turn around and be honest in the greater responsibilities. There is a coalition between what you do in the little things that affect the big things. We all like the big things. We all want the big things. We all want that huge outcome. But that huge outcome is totally dependent on the little things. The little things. Verse 11, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So if you're not faithful with what you have in your hand, what you have now, then who will trust you? And again, when it comes to the riches of heaven, it's God who trusts us. So can God trust you? Are you trustworthy with what you have? In verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? If you're not faithful with other things. And I'll just, Luke 19:17, and this is just a snippet out of the parable of talents, where they were all given one talent each and said to go and do something with it. Luke 19:17 says, well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will govern. You will be the governor of 10 cities as your reward. It's a big thing, isn't it? If you go, he was given, even if you said he was given $100 and said, you be faithful with that $100 and he made $1,000, God's going, fantastic. That principle right there, you were faithful with what I put in your hand. Now I'm going to give you 10 cities. That's huge. You ever thought about 10 cities? So 10 of Tauranga. So that's over a million people that you're going to over. It's huge. And here's, it all comes down to the little things. The little things in your life. What are you like with the little things in your life? What are you like with the little things God's given you? You know, we all want the big things. Man, I want this big things here. Maybe you're renting a house and going, man, I want a house. I really believe God wants, give me a, so how faithful are you with the house that you got? The little thing. The little things that you got in your life. Faithfulness in another man's. Faithful means loyal, constant, true, devoted, true blue. I thought that was quite funny, really. True hearted. It means you're trustworthy, you're loyal, you're dependable. God is faithful. You know, when we think about God, God is faithful. That means he's dependable. You can trust on him. In 1 John 1:19, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will come through. You can trust him. You can go to the bank on it. You can put your whole life on it. And that's what we do. We go, I put my whole life on Jesus because that's what I'm depending on for my eternity. I'm depending that God will be faithful to his word. God is faithful. So the question comes back as, how faithful are you? How trustworthy are you? You know, a lot of things happen in the obscurity. It's all about what are you like in the obscurity when no one's watching, when no one knows. And I put down, what are the little things? What are we talking about, little things? And the first thing that came to my mind was time. How faithful are you with your time? Time. I can remember a discussion with my dad once, and I don't know how old I was, but I kept saying I don't have enough time to do whatever he wanted me to do, which was probably true. I didn't have enough time to do that. And so he's challenged me to record every 15 minutes of my day for a whole week. So every day, write down what I did on those 15 minutes and come back and say whether there might be some space. And I thought, mate, there's no space. I'm really, really busy, you know. And so away I went, recording this time. And I got to the end of the week, and you know how you say, I don't have time for myself? It's not true. Because when I went through it all, there was all this time that I was just wasting doing for myself. You know, there was a bit of TV time. There was lots of time eating. That was good. Yeah. Well, you have to do that, don't you? But there was lots of time. And when I looked at, well, what was valuable in my time for that week, I think I worked out that I was only really using valuably, is that a word? Using well was 20 minutes of time, 20% of my time. And I suddenly went, wow, I could use my time a lot better. You know, because we end up facing and we end up looking at all the things that steal our time. You know, but we still have time. There's plenty of time. We've all got the same amount of time. I live in a household where my wife uses every moment of time. I sometimes feel bad because she does so much and she's always active using her time. But she's a good steward of her time. You know, are you a good steward of your time? Are you using your time well? Not necessarily the time that's seen, but what about the unseen time? What are you doing with your time? And straight away when I started thinking about being good with your time and the little things, I suddenly thought about phones. How much time does your Facebook take? There's a new device, I think there's a new little program out where you can, it will record how much time you spend on sort of Facebook or Instagram and all that. Is that right? On the latest version of the Apple, it's trying to, I don't know why they're wanting to do that, because everybody's going to look at it and go, I spend too much time on this, and they're going to stop using their phones. But how much time? How much time do you spend? How much time do you spend watching sport? Movies? How much time does God get in comparison to everything else? I'll move on. How faithful are you in the little things of the now? And when I mean the now, is how faithful are you in the little things of conversations with people? You know, sometimes a lot of us live with tomorrow in mind all the time. And so we're never in the present. Living right today. So we don't interact with people right today. We don't take that opportunity that's right in front of us today. Do when you talk to people, do they feel like, man, I felt like I was the only person in their world at that time? Or is there always other things distracting you away? What are you like when your phone rings or beeps at you when you're in a conversation? We all don't like it when someone just sort of goes, oh, excuse me, this is more important. And they take well, they don't might not say more important, but that's how it feels, doesn't it? It's a little thing. Are you in the moment? Your friends, how faithful are you to your friends? Are you a faithful friend? Are you a dependable? Now, you might go, well, but they're not that dependable, so I don't need to be dependable. I don't think that's the case. Are you a good friend? Money. I just put, are you faithful with other people's money? How many people have a job? Just put your hand up if you have a job. Okay. So when you've got a job, you're actually using your boss's money. So how good are you with your time with your boss's money? It's all related. How good are you with your time? How good are you with the church's money? Now, that definitely points to me, but it points to us all. How good are we with what God's given into our hands? Gifts and talents. How faithful are you with the gifts and talents you've got? The things that God's put into your life. Oh, no, I don't want to use those. It's going to take too much time. I just don't want to use what... No, God has given you a gift and a talent. Are you going to use it? Oh, well, I've done my time. You know, I used to do that. No. What's God saying? What's God given you? Are you using it to its fullest extent? Is there more you could use? You know, one of the people that I admire is David in the Bible. And you know, the fascinating thing about David is that when we look at David, we really feel that he bursts onto the scene. You know, our first thing about David, if you're reading through, I think it's in 1 Samuel, as you're reading through David, your first thing about him is that he's suddenly asked to go play the harp for the king, because the king's got getting depressed. And so they say, is there anybody in the whole nation that could play the harp to minister? And so David's the one they pick. And so David comes in and plays the harp. And then the next time it's David's just happens to be visiting the army and hears Goliath and goes, okay, yeah, man, give me a go. And goes out and faces Goliath. And it sort of feels like he just suddenly appears on the scene, you know. Suddenly he's anointed. But the reason David got those big opportunities is because he made the most of all his opportunities out in the wilderness, out looking after the sheep. You know, you imagine being on a ranch. Maybe it's a sheep farm. What do we call a sheep farm? Station, that's it, the sheep station. You know, some of the ones in the South Island are 20,000 hectares. And imagine in that day, you didn't have the little motorbike, you out to the sheep and have a look how they're going and then come in. No, they would walk, they would go for a week away out trying to find grass for these mangy sheep that they've got. I don't even like sheep. I reckon they're dumb animals, you know. I mean, you can... Here's a choice. Would you have a dog or a sheep as a pet? You'd have a dog. Come on, no one wants a sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are annoying. They are nice to eat. That is good. But you think about it. Here he is. He's out in the back. He's feeling rejected. His family sent him out there because in their society, that was the worst of the worst jobs. No one. That's the low people, the low, you know, the ones that really can't, they get sent to be a sheep. And here's David out there and he takes the opportunity to hone a whole lot of his gifts. He must have been out there playing his guitar, practicing riffs. A little bit like Andrew. Andrew, you were awesome this morning. It was a real anointing there. You know, just playing away. Time after time, he got past the little strum, and he got into the bar chords, and he just kept praying. He got into the shredding. I don't know how you shred on a harp, but it would be really, really cool to watch. He took all that time. You know, he was sitting there with a sling, you know, keep picking things out and firing them. And, you know, firing stone after stone on his sling. I played a great game this week. when we were doing a team building thing, and they gave us a bow and arrow, and they put this sort of marshmallow spongy thing on the end of the arrows, and then you'd shoot them at each other, and it was just fun. It was just, some of them I didn't even know, and I'm shooting them in the head. I didn't shoot the girls, though. I will admit, I didn't shoot the girls. Some of the other boys did, but I didn't. The girls did shoot the boys, though. That was okay. But you know, and it's harder than you think. You know, because the losers, I wasn't on the losing team, but the losers team had to stand there, and we just stood about, it would have been 7 meters away, and we had a free shot at them. And could I hit them? No. It takes a lot of practice. But if you practiced and practiced, which David must have done, he must have got really good. You know, he must have taken every bit of opportunity to practice. And so here's the question. What are you doing with your opportunities? What are you doing with what God's called you to do? Are you practicing them? Are you using them? Are you in the quiet? Because we all think we want to do the ultimate step. We all want to step up to our Goliath. But maybe our Goliath will never get beaten unless we step up and just practice in the quiet. And a faithful, we've got God's given you right now. What's God asked you to do? You know, is something too below you? Oh, they've asked me, they just want me to be backup singer, but I'm a solo singer. Why aren't I on the solo thing? No, you're faithful with the little. You know, you're faithful with what you've got. You step out and go, I don't care about it being little. It's about me using my gift. I'll do it. I'll run errands for people. I'll serve. I'll be faithful with the little. I'll make the most of the little. Because we all want these big things. But God's saying, no. You need to be faithful with the little. The most important step, the most important thing facing you right now is the little thing that you need to do. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What's that? That's about these foxes that would run in and they would wreck a whole vineyard. These tiny little foxes that you think, oh, I won't worry about them. No. These little things in our lives, if I don't get them right, if I don't go, hey, I'm going to deal with the little things in my life, it has a major catastrophe effect. Yeah. The little things. What are your little things? What are the little things where God says, hey, you need to do this? And I know you start using the little things, God will open wide. And you will be ready for the opportunity when the opportunity appears. You know, as I was preparing, I felt there were some people that felt like they're not seen. And they go, but I've been doing this for ages and I'm not seen. But God sees. I felt there were some business people that have been fixing other people's mistakes. You've been fixing it and nobody sees. The boss hasn't seen. Well, you don't think they've seen. Listen, God's seeing. And that he sees that faithfulness, he rewards. He's going to open the opportunity. Joseph is just an amazing picture of someone who was just so faithful wherever he was. He had every reason to go, to get the pip with God, to get mad. No, he, you're now a slave. You've gone from being a free guy that was the favorite of your father, doing whatever you like, to now you're a slave. Imagine the transition. The transition from being free to being a slave. You know, the feeling I have to do everything this person says. And yet he served there faithfully. And he just rose up the ranks because he was trustworthy. He was good in the little things. In fact, that I don't think if he had been faithful in those little things, he would have ever got to be faithful in the big things. And then everything goes wrong, falsely accused. I just felt, again, when I was praying to this morning, that someone you felt quite falsely accused. And no. He felt falsely accused, but again, he still carried on serving faithfully. He gets put into prison. He serves faithfully. You know, he does what God wants. He even answers the dream for these guys and says, look, can you remember me? Because I'm not supposed to be in here. This is unjust. Do you know it's 2 years later? The guy forgot him for 2 years. I really feel like I'm spitting here. 2 years. But God sees. God sees. Don't think God doesn't see you. He's seeing you. He's seeing you in the quiet. He's seeing you. You know, how dependable are you as an apprentice? Are you the dependable one? Yeah, but they keep giving me all these dumb jobs. No, you serve faithfully there. I don't know if you've seen the life cycle of us all, but the life cycle of us all is that we start at the bottom. Can you remember? You're 2 years old and you rock up to kindy. You're one of the little kids there. But you get to four and you're one of the big kids in kindy now. You're the boss. You're the man. And they say, now you're going off to school. And you think, man, I'm going to show that school. And you go to school and you're in year one and you're the little guy again. And all the big guys are pushing you around and you get put in your place. But you slowly go up year two, year three, year four, year five, year six. I'm the big guy in primary school. Yeah, man, I'm it. And off you go to intermediate school, year seven. You're the little guy again. You're the little fella. And then you go through year eight, big guy, intermediate. Man, we're it. You know, you little guys don't know anything. And then you step into year nine, you're the little guy, you're the, you know, the little twerb, you're small, you're thrown in the bins. How many people ever got binned? I just don't. You're the little guy, there's big guys, but then you sort of grow up and you hit year 13, you're in the first 15. Oh, that rhymes. You're the big guy. Then you start and you go off to university, you're in year one, you've got no idea what you're doing, you're the little guy. Then you get to year whatever, three or four, you're the graduate. Yeah, man, you know how it's going and you walk out into the workplace and you know zip, you don't know a thing. It's true. That's what happened to me. I thought, man, I'm really good. I've got my university degree and I end up auditing. And I start again. I go, I've got no idea. They have to teach you everything. You start at the bottom again and you run errands and you make cups of tea for people. And I go, but I went to university. I'm really cool. No, you're not. You're the little guy. And you work your way up, get to the top of your job. And that might happen all through your life. Some stage you get to be the big guy, but some stage you get to be the little guy. Are you good as the little guy? Are you good as the little guy? Are you faithful in the little thing? Because the little thing is what determines what happens in the big things. The big things that we want. Oh, we love the big things. We want the big things. The ultimate step is the next step. Not the big one far off. You know, sometimes God doesn't show you the big one far off because he knows that you'd get your head stuck in that one or that you would be overwhelmed by that. So he just shows you the next step. But the next step's important. If you don't get the next step, that's the ultimate step. That step depends on what's going to happen in the future. There's a whole lot of steps. And here's the question. What are you doing with where you are right now? Are you faithful? You've been faithful? Good on you. I feel in our church we've got a whole lot of faithful people, time and time again, people that just keep serving, keep coming to prayer meetings, keep coming. Oh, you know, does it really matter? Yes. The little things. Keeping reading your Bible. The parable of the 10 maids, 5 were prepared, 5 weren't. That's all about doing the step right now, doing what you need, not now. Oh, it's all right. I can let this go. I won't need this. But no, you need it now. You need it now. You need it now. I felt there were some people here that were weary and tired and wondered whether you get the breakthrough. And Galatians 6:9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. If we don't give up, don't give up. Don't give up. Musicians, you can come. You already are, but you can come. That'd be great. I just felt there's some people, you're discouraged. You're thinking, man, I've been sitting doing this for a long time. But you've been faithful, and you are going to reap a harvest. You are going to reap a harvest. And then the other was just to challenge people, what's your next step? What is it that you need to be doing? What's just the next step? You know, and sometimes, you know, look, it's easy for us to look at a child and go, man, that first step is just so important. And it starts with these tiny little steps fall over, tiny little steps fall over, tiny little, but eventually they walk. And now most of us don't even think twice about walking. We just walk. But we've done the little things. If you hadn't tripped over a few times, I don't know anyone that just got up and walked and never fell over again. I don't know any kid. I haven't seen it. Every kid gets up and trips over and falls over. Talking. You know, it's the little things. So what's it in your hand? And look, it's not an age thing. I really felt there's some people that you're thinking, man, I've done everything. But no, there's some little things God is saying for you to do. And they are going to open up quite incredible things for you if you're faithful in that little. Because it's about the seed, the power of sowing it. The power of sowing it. Why doesn't everybody just close their eyes? Father, I thank you for each person here. And Lord, I pray courage would come in. Lord, you see and you are well pleased with them. You look at your children and you see them taking the little steps and doing the little thing. And you are well pleased. Father, I pray fresh faith would come in. Lord, that they know that they would serving you and you see. They would know that you are serving you. Father, I pray for those that are discouraged and weary and tired. I pray right now they would feel your strength. That they wouldn't give up doing good. What you're doing is not a waste of time. I just felt someone thinking in their head, oh, this is a waste of time what I'm doing. No, no. God is using it. God is building some character in you, some fresh life. Be faithful where you are. And as you're faithful, you are going to be blown away with God, what God opens up in your life. The fascinating thing about Joseph is in one day, his faithfulness went from being in a prison to being second in charge in a nation. But it was the accumulation of all that faithfulness that got him to that point. God sees and God rewards. God sees and God rewards. The ultimate step is your next step. Father, I pray for those that are about to make a decision and it's their next step. Lord, I pray that they would know fresh faith, Father. They would know it's the right thing. Father, for those that I prayed before that were just a bit unsure in their spirit, they were sure in their head, but they weren't sure in their spirit. Father, I pray you'd help them to get sure in their spirit that it's the right thing to do.